This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues, and I must tell you that our very good friend James Coy Driscoll, I just talked to him a few minutes ago, he was in an auto accident. His car apparently is wrecked. He can't get here. He sounds kind of shaken. So our other very good friend is here, Mark Seidenfeld, real estate attorney, landlord-tenant attorney. He represents landlords and tenants. His offices are in South San Francisco. So we're going to see how good Mark really is on his own.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and also by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Mark, it's nice to have you here. Thank you very much for joining us. You've been incredibly generous with your time. We've got a lot of people who want to talk to you. And anything, before we went on the air, other than being surprised by Coy not being able to be here,
yes.
Being on the freeway and getting in an accident, it's been not too much fun for Coy, certainly. But fortunately, he told me he wasn't injured. Nothing special has happened, I presume, lately?
Not that I'm aware of in terms of new laws,
okay.
But the same situations tend to recur constantly.
Mm-hmm.
People, security deposit issues, habitability issues, all the normal things that make landlord-tenant law so exciting.
Yeah. Do you feel, in all of your experience in dealing in the landlord-tenant business, and you have represented tenants, you have represented landlords, do you feel that much of the litigation relates to people not making the effort to try to talk to each other and work things out?
I do. There is a perception, I think, very widely shared perception among tenants in San Francisco that landlords are somehow inherently evil.
Mm-hmm.
There is a perception also widespread among landlords that tenants are the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of those is true. Most people want to get along, I think. The average landlord just wants to collect his rent. He's happy to rent.
Mm-hmm.
And most tenants just want to pay their rent and be left alone. But there are people on both sides who take advantage and who cause problems for mm-hmm. their neighbors and other people. And that's what the law is for.
Mm. Well, so there you are. If you are having a landlord-tenant problem and you haven't talked either to your tenant or you as the tenant haven't talked to your landlord, give it a whirl. Maybe it will work. Maybe it will work. We are going to be talking about not only state law and landlord-tenant law, but certainly some of the San Francisco ordinance type of laws. So in a few minutes, I'll give you the phone number to call in and ask Coy a question. It is also our Call a Lawyer night, and I want you to be aware of that. Let me do this, Joanne. Let me give the. I'm going to do it. Let's just take a very brief pause right now. Let me give you the Call a Lawyer number because we have a number of attorneys here, and I want to have you take advantage of them. 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917 for our Call a Lawyer night. This is no obligation on your part. It's a great public service that these attorneys are performing. Many of them have done it many, many times, some years. I mean, Mark Seidenfeld has done Call a Lawyer. He's done this program for years. Just the generosity of these people is just wonderful. If you are being hounded by creditors, tomorrow, Leon Baer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available. You can reach him, no obligation whatsoever. You can reach him at his office tomorrow. That's Thursday, August 23rd, between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. if you call 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and let's say you don't get him, but just get the recording, leave your name and phone number, and Leon Baer will call you back. All right, let's start, Martin, with, if we can, a question from someone. And we've got Elaine. Elaine, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there.
Hi.
Another great show.
Well, thank you. Could you turn, Elaine, turn your radio down because you are echoing.
Oh, I just turned it down. Is there still an echo?
No, that's fine. You're fine.
It's
Go
fine.
Ahead. Yeah. You're on, my dear.
I have is that my, excuse me, my 81-year-old mother owns a house in San Francisco, and I'm handling most of her business matters. But we have a tenant that rents a room in one of the units for $500 a month. She had some complaints about things in the place that needed repairing, and she didn't come to us. She went straight to the San Francisco Tenant Association, or the Rent Board, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we got a letter that we have to go to mediation with a list of the things that needed to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going in September to this mediation. We've never done this before. And I was just wondering, and also the person is, she's visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being disabled may include other areas that we haven't even thought about.
Is she complaining about the Americans with Disabilities Act?
I'm sorry, did she?
There is the federal law, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Is she complaining that their accessibility is not good for someone who has a visual impairment?
No, we haven't got anything that way.
Okay, all right. Okay, so your question, Elaine, you've never done this before. You're going to go to mediation at the rent board, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I think Mark is very familiar with this.
Yes. When you receive the notice from the rent board, you should also have received with it a form for you to write a response to the tenant's allegations.
I see.
Okay, and if you haven't got that form, you should get one from the rent board. There are 25 Van Ness.
Okay.
And you need to file that in the case. And when you go to the mediation, there'll be a hearing officer who will attempt to have the parties discuss the issue and resolve it. If the parties cannot resolve it at that time, there will be a hearing at that moment. And it's very possible that if the hearing officer decides that there are, in fact, problems, there are all sorts of things that they can do. They can order a reduction in rent until the repairs are made or whatever the problem is resolved. So the best advice I can give you is to go out and talk to a lawyer who's experienced in this sort of thing, and you need to get a response into the rent board to the tenant's petition.
But when is the mediation to take place, Elaine?
I believe September 9th.
Okay, so that is about three weeks off.
Yeah.
And where do you live?
I live in East Bay.
You do. Okay. Here's my suggestion to you in terms of your trying to get geared up for this.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to call, since you're in the East Bay, you might want to call, and Mark, you tell me if you feel I'm wrong. You might want to call the lawyer referral service for the Alameda County Bar Association. No?
No. If the house is in San Francisco, needs a San Francisco attorney.
Right.
She may with the San Francisco rent ordinance.
Yeah. Let me suggest to you this. The lawyer referral service of the Bar Association of San Francisco is one of the funders of this program. And you can call. I'll give you the number. Would you like to write it down?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's 415-989-1616.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion to you, so that you are fairly well prepared in terms of what you're going to do, I think you should call the lawyer referral service tomorrow and tell them that essentially what's going on here, that you're going to be representing your mother, who is the landlord, and the tenant is making some complaints. You're going to have a mediation or possibly a mediation with the rent board. You'd like to speak to an attorney who handles landlord matters and who is familiar with the rent ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And for half an hour consultation, you'll have to, with the attorney, and you may be able to do it over the phone, I'm not sure. Usually it's face-to-face.
Sure.
It'll be $35, and it's going to be a very well-spent $35.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, that's what I suggest.
Well, let me just ask you, see, we've made all the repairs, basically.
Oh, okay.
And so, therefore, will there still be, like, a back rent reduction? Could it possibly be that we owe her money?
It's conceivable, depending on the severity of the repairs that had to be made. But
uh-huh.
You should certainly bring with you evidence that you have repaired all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Bills from contractors or for materials that you bought or whatever you had to do.
And certainly photos, if you can.
You know, and see, she never complained to us directly. She mm-hmm. just straight to the rent board?
Well, then I think there's some merit to that in terms of Elaine's approach to this.
Yeah, but this illustrates what I was talking about when we started.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
There's a tendency to not talk to your landlord. Instead, you run off to the rent board.
Yes. Was your mother inaccessible for the tenant to talk to? In other words, was she not around?
Well, she's an elderly person that has a little dementia. So there were people around. In fact, my son, her grandson, lived in the same unit with this person for a while.
So
she could have very easily called him or told him.
Yeah, she certainly could have.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, Elaine. But I think you, did you get the phone number for the lawyer referral service for San Francisco?
Yes, I have it.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. All right. I hope it works out for you. Take care now. All right. This is Your Legal Rights. We're doing landlord-tenant. My guest is Mark Seidenfeld, a great friend of all of you listeners of this program and to this station. He really is. He's been on the program now, I don't know how many years. It's been a long time.
It has, yes.
Long time. He's got this long beard. I mean, it's just like Rip Van Winkle came here. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Yeah. Yeah, stop, Chubby. Stop. All right, Travis, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Just wondering if this is the right topic for an attorney, but facing an eviction, I'm wondering how long does this stay on my record?
That you were evicted?
I'm facing an eviction.
You're facing an eviction, but you're worried about how long it would be on your record?
Well, when you say your record, you mean your credit report?
Yeah.
Yeah, in theory, up to 10 years.
Really? Wow.
Usually it's 7 years, but it can be on up for 10 years, yeah.
What's the purpose of the eviction? You haven't been able to pay the rent?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Has the judgment already been given?
No, but, it's one of those things that, barring a minor miracle, this is going to be coming down sometime in the next couple of weeks.
My suggestion would be to try and work something out with the landlord where you can get out of there without having a judgment.
Yeah.
Most landlords don't want to go to court any more than you do, and it's possible that you might be able to settle it with them.
There is an action that has been filed, Travis?
Yeah.
Okay. And what county is it in?
San Mateo.
Oh, it is in San Mateo. Okay.
You should be aware that when an unlawful detainer is filed, the file in the court file is actually sealed for 6 months. It's not available to the public.
Mm.
And one of the purposes of that is to enable tenants to find other housing without landlords being able to get a report showing that this has gone on.
Yeah.
And whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But it sounds to me like your best bet is to try and work something out with the landlord.
Okay, thanks for your time.
Any way you can get out of there within the next 2 weeks that would please your landlord and get you perhaps in a situation where you wouldn't have an eviction on you?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Take care. All right, this is Your Legal Rights. Susie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. I have a home in San Francisco, and I have a legal unit in my home. I'm exempt from rent board regulations because the certificate of occupancy for that unit was 2002. The tenant has moved her boyfriend into the unit.
Without your permission?
Yes.
Okay.
Her lease says that she must have advanced written permission from me, and she didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want him out.
You want both or just the boyfriend out?
Just the boyfriend.
Okay.
Does the lease say how many people can actually live in the apartment?
The lease says that she signed it, and she's the only one who can live there.
Okay. And this is not a registered domestic partner, as far as you know?
It is not.
Okay. In that case, since it's not covered by the rent ordinance, you would be within your rights to serve her with a notice to evict her.
But she doesn't want to evict the
well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
The sheriff is not going to come and evict one person and not the other.
Yeah.
So what you could do is, send her a very politely worded note saying you're in violation of your rental agreement and this other person needs to leave. And if it doesn't happen within a short time, I will serve you with a formal notice, something along those lines.
Okay. My house has just been scaffolded for painting.
Oh, my.
So she could not move her furniture out. So I can't really tell her to get out. I can tell the boyfriend because he has no furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, as I say, everything has to be addressed to her, not to him, because he's technically not a tenant. You don't want to accept rent from him. You don't want to deal with him about issues in the house. If there's a problem, you say, I'm sorry, I can only talk to the tenant and not him. So you don't want to do anything that's going to recognize him as a tenant, and that's very important.
Okay. So basically, I just let her know. I'll give her 3 days to get him out, or how long should I
Well,
give her?
We're not talking about a formal notice at this point, okay? Those have to be written by an attorney, and certain language is required. I would talk to her informally and say, the problem is you've moved somebody in violation of your rental agreement, and he needs to go. And if he doesn't, within a reasonable amount of time, and, you know, ask how much time does he need. If he moved in with no furniture, he may need, you know, an afternoon to pack a suitcase.
Sure.
I don't know.
Right.
He may ask for 2 weeks, which would not be unreasonable. But and let her know, though, that if something doesn't happen, that you will seek legal advice and you will send her a formal eviction notice.
How long is the scaffolding going to be up, Susie?
Well, the problem is that it's the weather's bad and painting hasn't even been able, they haven't started.
Where are you? Where are you located?
I'm in Noe Valley.
Are you? Oh, yeah. So they can't paint now? Is that bad? Wow.
Maybe you don't live in the city.
I don't.
We've been socked in by fog.
I felt it as I was coming up today on the freeway. Yeah, I see. Well, how
the
unfortunate.
The sun doesn't come out till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, my.
So all they've been able to do so far is power wash.
That's not good, is it? Well,
I suspect that she'll be able to do what needs to be done, regardless of the scaffolding.
Yeah, okay. Good luck to you, Susie.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, it's our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here. One attorney is standing up for you. That's Jeff Hayden, certified specialist in criminal law. He's standing up, showing how attentive and respectful he is of the caller with whom he's speaking. We have also Alice O'Sullivan, workers' compensation law certified specialist, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. We have somebody who hasn't done this before, B.J. Fadum, certified specialist in family law from San Jose. Peter Fortune is here, a certified specialist in legal malpractice law. I believe Keith Oliver is here for landlord-tenant law. Keith, it's his first time from San Francisco. We have also for first time for Call a Lawyer, Arlo Uriart for employment law in San Francisco. He has his office. We have, I hope Kara is here, Kara Weissman for immigration law, small claims court. Kara has an office in San Francisco. And if you have a question on patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde will be happy to take your call. If you will call our number, 1-800-525-9917, Ron is not here in the studio tonight, but one of the lawyers in the conference room will give you Ron's phone number. It's a 510 phone number, and you can call him. And then finally, we have Frank Adam, Tax Law Real Estate, who is here. And then tomorrow, Leanne Bayer, Certified Specialist in Bankruptcy Law, will be available to talk to you off the air at his office by phone, of course, between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. No obligation whatsoever on your part. It's just a great service that Leon performs. It's 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. All of these people are very, very generous with their time. Take advantage of this because this is a great public service that they are doing, and hopefully it may be helpful to you. Again, the number here for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. If you want to talk to Mark Seidenfeld, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues. For those of you who have listened to this program over the years, you know usually Mark's counterperson is James Coy Driscoll. Coy had a problem. I talked to him just before we went on the program. He apparently was on the freeway trying to come here and got in an accident. His car is wrecked. Fortunately, he tells me he was not hurt, so unfortunately he is not here. But Mark is a very experienced, Mark Seidenfeld, very experienced attorney who's handled both landlord and tenants' problems. He's also a real estate attorney. His offices are in South San Francisco, so you're welcome to talk with him. And so we've got, I think we have Ann. Ann, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
I'm calling because I have a question I've been dying to ask for years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I'm so happy to get to finally ask somebody who might know the answer.
I hope I can answer.
Wow. This is, don't put Mark on the spot
here.
The
pressure is on.
Oh, no, no. We don't want him falling off his chair, you know. But go ahead,
well,
Ann.
I think the problem is I might not like the answer, but here it is. My dad is 88 years old, and he has lived in the same flat in San Francisco since 1960. Mm. So,
wow.
What is that, 52
years? 2 years, wow.
And he's rented it, and it's month to month.
Mm.
And we, you know, the place hasn't been painted since 1960, probably. And, I mean, it needs to be completely, probably, remodeled.
Are there multiple units there, Ann?
Yes.
Oh, there are?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are. He's very happy with it. It's single-pane glass windows. There's no central heat. I mean, it's really primitive because it hasn't been touched since.
Any indoor plumbing there? Or?
It does have indoor plumbing, but I'll tell you, the sink looks like, a Jackson Pollock painting because it's so full of rust.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's fine because he's happy with it. I mean, he has no complaints at all. The issue is that my siblings and I would really like to be able to keep this place, and we're assuming that the landlord is probably, holding his breath, waiting for my dad to move on to the next world. And we're wondering if there's any way that we can hold on to it.
You're right. You're not going to like the answer. The short answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, if one of you were to move in with the landlord's consent, and then your father were to pass away, you would be recognized as a tenant. But in theory, the landlord would be able to raise the rent to market value at that time. But generally speaking, if it's just one person and he's been there for, 50 plus years, the landlord is probably not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah. What's the rent there, Ann?
How much? Well, he used to say that the landlord was an absentee landlord, and that when he sent the rent notices, he would just ignore them.
I like your father's approach. Yeah. How much is he paying though? When he pays?
I think somewhere $450 a month.
Really? Okay.
He's got a bargain.
Oh, he does. Yes, he does. How's your dad's mental health?
He's in great shape.
He's going to be around. Well, he sounds like he'll be around for quite a few years.
Yeah.
He could be, and he's very stubborn and independent.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't want to give it up. So,
that poor landlord. That poor landlord.
I know. This place is on the top of Russian Hill and has a view of the entire Bay Area.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty nice to me.
Yeah. Landlords need to remember that given good behavior, tenants in San Francisco have lifetime tenancies. It's true. It really is.
That is. Well, it sounds to me like things are going to be okay for a while.
For him, for sure. We would just like to keep it in the family.
Well, unfortunately, you can't. Maybe you could work. Listen, I got an idea. You may be able to work out a deal with the landlord if you go to the landlord and say, I know that my dad is only paying $450 a month, and I know he's entitled to stay here for the rest of his life, but I'm wondering if you would work out a deal with me where we would pay a little bit more per month. Well, Mark's looking at me, and he's kind of shaking his head. If it were me, that's what I do. I try to work out some kind of a deal.
The problem is it's not legal to violate the law, even if the parties agreed to do so. And the law says that the rents can only be raised by these amounts every year. The rent board publishes an increase. What you could do is talk to the landlord and say, well, we would like to keep it, and when my father is gone, could I move in, or my brother or my sister, and we'll pay you market rent.
Yeah.
And that might be fine with the landlord just to save the cost of advertising and screening new tenants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, talk with the landlord. You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know?
Be the best option, I guess.
Yeah, good luck to you, Ann.
Thank you.
Yeah, are you as stubborn as your dad?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. You might be able to put something together if you were more stubborn. Okay, good luck to you.
No, if there were Olympics in stubbornness, he would get a gold medal.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Take care.
Okay,
All right, thank you very much for calling. All right, we got a couple more minutes of the statewide version of the program. By the way, we are live in the Bay Area. We're live on the internet at www.kalw.org. For those of you listening to us live, we will continue for a second half hour, and I will give the number again in the second half hour for you to call. And so, Chris, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Chris, are you there? Or wait a minute. I'm sorry. It's John. John, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
I've been on a short form lease for 20 years. So since 1992, almost exactly 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved into an apartment, it was myself and my wife. And my wife and I, sitting in front of the landlord, said she didn't want her name on the apartment, so she scratched her name off the lease. She didn't want her name on the lease, so she scratched it. However, we lived there, until there was a divorce for close to another year after. And I'm wondering, within the past 5 years or so, the building has sold to another owner, and it's about ready to be sold again, supposedly, if that makes any difference. But I'm wondering, I have the lease with her name scratched. And she was there for nearly a year, would I just assume that there are now two tenants in the building? I mean, the new landlord, of course, is...
You'd like to have someone come in and live there with you? Is that your point?
Yes, that's the point.
Yes. Okay. No, there's no problem with that. If you've had two people living there for 20 years and one moves out, you're entitled to replace that person. You would have to, again, it's up to the lease, but most leases say you can't do so without the prior consent of the landlord, to give the landlord a chance to, screen the person, get a credit report, that sort of thing. But, the landlord cannot stop you from replacing a departing tenant.
But, sir, her name was scratched out on the lease. Does that...
It doesn't matter, because she was there with the landlord's knowledge and consent.
Yeah.
So there's a new owner, and the new owner might say, I don't know that. And she also didn't sign the lease.
It doesn't matter. The new landlord will take subject to the existing arrangement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, you're covered.
And, just one more quick question.
Sure.
If there was to be a second tenant, and I was really upfront with the landlord, and it's I'd like another person to move in, another woman friend of mine. Is it typical for them to, obviously I started renting 20 years ago, and it's a 5-apartment building, and other apartments in the building are probably paying more than twice as much as I am. Is it typical for them to then, double the rent to market value, as you mentioned with the woman previous?
Are you in San Francisco?
Yes.
And it was the building first built before 1979?
Oh, yeah, it was built before 1970.
Yeah, then the answer is no, they can't do that. They cannot charge extra for a new person coming in to replace an existing one beyond the increases authorized by the rent ordinance, which are very small.
John, we have come to the end of the half hour.
Yeah.
You can stay if you wish, if you have another question, but we're going to end the half hour right now.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think we got it. Thank you.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, it's 729 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. A lot of people want to speak to you, Mark.
That's amazing.
No, it's not. I mean, they know what they're doing, obviously. My guest is Mark Seidenfeld. Mark has been a great friend of this station, this radio program, and to you consumers in the landlord-tenant area. He has been a guest on this program many years. He's done also our Call a Lawyer Night. His offices are in South San Francisco. He represents both landlords and tenants. He is a real estate attorney. We are also doing our regular Call a Lawyer Night, and I want to tell you something, by the way, and I'm not pleased with what the Republican Convention and the Democratic Convention are doing. They're kicking us off next week and the following week for the convention, so we will not be here for a couple of weeks. We'll return on September 12th. And we will be doing a program on the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. So don't be disappointed to hear the Republican Convention and the Democratic Convention if you don't hear us. That's why we're being preempted. But it is our Call a Lawyer night tonight. And the number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 if you would like to call in. And I want to mention to you that if you are being hounded by creditors, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be very happy to talk to you tomorrow, Thursday, August 23rd, between 8 a.m. and 11. If you want to jot down his number, by the way, no obligation whatsoever, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you get his recording, leave your name and phone number and Leon will call you back. Leon has been also incredibly generous with his time. I think he has been doing this the day after we do the evening of Call a Lawyer now for several years. Very gracious. So if you are having a problem with consumers, take advantage of the fact that he is available. If you want to speak to any one of our Call a Lawyer lawyers, now until 8 o'clock, it's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And all right, we're going to go next with Chris. Chris, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes, hi. First of all, I would like to thank Mark Seinfeld for his incredible courage to face the people on the radio.
We can't see them, so it's not so hard.
No, no, we hey. You know, we're pretty brave here.
But thank you.
Okay, now, I have an unusual situation. I live on the East Bay in an apartment building with 41 units.
Ooh.
And when we moved in, we were made understood, and it was a fact of life, that there would be a full-time resident manager in that building.
Okay.
I understand that if there is more than 40 units, it's the law in California that there has to be a full-time resident manager. Is that correct?
It is correct. Actually, I think a building with more than 12 units is required to have one, so you're definitely covered there.
Okay. Now, since about a year ago, that full-time manager has a girlfriend, and he is very seldom to be seen or at least very partial time in the building. The worst is he is never been here at night since at least last Thanksgiving. That's the time we started registering. Mm. So we never have him here, which brings all kinds of difficult situations because nobody looks around the building at night. Sometimes the doors stay open because it's hot and people leave doors open. Nobody goes around. Nobody checks if the lights are working or not working because if you're not there at night, you don't see the lights on and off. Mm. So there is a serious neglect of the property. And we feel that we are disadvantaged by that. Now, since he's not always there or part-time there during daytime, me personally, I am bothered because my name is on the top of the list of tenants in the building. You know, it's just the first name on the line.
Right.
And people like UPS or the fire department or FedEx or whoever needs information, they ring on his bell. He never answers. He never responds. So I am bothered by it, and I have to help those people out, even if I only have to answer on the phone, and sometimes I have to go to the front door to help the people.
The joy of urban living. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
My point is, when I took the lease, and it's over 5 years, I understood that I would be able to have a quiet and peaceful tenancy, and I feel that my rights now have been overlooked.
What city is it in?
Alameda.
Okay. I assume that you've notified the landlord and complained about it.
I want to call you first to see how I have to proceed.
Oh, you haven't All complained right. to the landlord. Okay.
Well, right. What I would do would be to organize the tenants, frankly, and get as many people as you can to sign a letter, a nicely worded letter, you know, but emphatic, telling the landlord that the manager is not doing what he's supposed to be doing and the landlord is not fulfilling his obligations to you, and he needs to do so.
Is this a corporation that owns this building?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not unusual, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. But he does have a requirement. It's the law. He has to have a full-time resident manager. And if he doesn't, conceivably, you could sue.
Yeah.
If you were in Berkeley or Oakland, I would tell you to go to the rent board. Mm-hmm. I am not aware of Alameda having one. Mm-hmm. But certainly, you should certainly make your complaint known to the landlord and then talk to a lawyer Alameda County has an excellent lawyer referral service, the Alameda County Bar Association, and there might be all sorts of possibilities about withholding rent, all sorts of other things. And but first, try to talk to the landlord. Let them know what's going on, that there's a problem, and that you expect them to address it.
And the way lawyer referral works for the Alameda County Bar Association, you would call the Alameda County Bar Association, ask for the lawyer referral person. You'd tell them what the problem was, and they would find for you an experienced tenant's lawyer, set you up for a half an hour consultation, and I think the charge over there for a half an hour face-to-face with the attorney is like $35. It would be well worth it for you, really, at this point, Sam, to do this, you know, and take advantage. I'm sorry, Chris, to do this. And
would there be reprisal when they find that out, that they say, yeah, I kicked you out?
Well, they can't. I mean, retaliation is prohibited by law. You're entitled to make complaints. If the landlord did do something like that, you would have a wonderful case against the landlord, and he wouldn't get away with it. But you definitely need to get some legal advice.
Yeah.
But before you even do that, I would bring it to the attention of the landlord, try to get other tenants involved, because there's strength in unity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the landlord, you know, if there are 41 units and 20 people come forward and say there's a problem, it's different than if one person comes forward and says there's a problem.
Good
now,
luck.
Would there be a problem also that the absent manager would say, no, I'm there at night. How can you prove I'm not there at night?
Well, you know, that's something for the landlord to investigate. But again, you know, if I were the landlord and I received a notice from 20 of my tenants saying that there's a problem, I would assume that it's correct. Why would all those people be lying?
Yeah.
So I don't
Chris,
think that's going to be
move
an
on.
Issue.
We're going to move on. Good luck to you.
Okay, thank you very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, take
Appreciate
care
it.
Now. Yeah, you're welcome. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KEOW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association to which lawyers are members. It also has, each one of them has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced, set you up with half an hour consultation, and you'll pay, depending on the county, for half an hour, maybe a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. And it's a worthwhile consumer opportunity, frankly, to give you some basic information. And by the way, if you have questions that you'd like to pose to any one of my Call a Lawyer lawyers, that number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We have Frank Adam for Tax Law Real Estate. We have actually Ron Rohde for Patent Law, Aviation Law, Lemon Law, BBB Arbitration. If you call and want to speak to Ron, the Call a Lawyer lawyers will give you his 510 number, and you can call him this evening. He's in Washington, D.C., but he's happy to talk to you. We've got Kara Weissman for Immigration Law, Small Claims Court, Arlo Uriart for Employment Law, Keith Oliver for Landlord-Tenant Law, Peter Fortune for Legal Malpractice Law, B.J. Fadum for Family Law, Certified Specialist, so is Peter Fortune a Certified Specialist, Certified Specialist Jeff Hayden for Criminal Law, and Certified Specialist Alice O'Sullivan for Workers' Compensation Law. And as I said, Leon Bayer will be available tomorrow between 8 and 11 a.m., 1-800-477-3111. Our Call a Lawyer number, 1-800-525-9917. And let's see, we do have this time, we do have Sam. Sam, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi. Are you Sam?
Yes.
Must be Samantha, huh?
All right.
All right, go ahead. You're on the air.
In my apartment, there's a washing machine that doesn't work. When I signed the lease, the lease said, that the washing machine would not be the responsibility of the tenant, of the landlord, but instead of the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
It had been left there by a previous tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And a short time after the building changed hands, the washing machine ceased to work.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, when I move out, can the landlord require me to, say, buy a new washing machine?
Is this washing machine in your unit that only you...
Yeah.
I see, okay.
Well... It's a good question. Is there a security deposit?
Yes.
All right. In theory, if it was working when you moved in and if it isn't working when you move out, the landlord could say to you, you need to fix it or I will deduct the cost of it from your security deposit.
When it ceased to work, I asked him if I could replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said no, he didn't want anything with water.
I'm sorry, he didn't want anything with water?
Anything with water. He didn't want a washing machine, and he didn't want a dishwasher in the unit.
So he was happy if, when the one that's in there broke down, and you said, do you mind if I buy one and bring it in? He said, no, I don't want anything with water in there. So he was very happy, it sounds like,
yes,
for that washing machine, the washing machine to break down, right?
That's very strange. If you rented the place with a washing machine, you're entitled to a washing machine. So whether the landlord likes it or not, you have the right to replace it.
Yeah.
And did he say in writing that he doesn't want anything new in there?
No.
Okay, you might ask him. You might send him a note saying, I want to replace the washing machine, and ask him to send you a note back saying yes or no, because that will cover you if it isn't fixed or replaced when you move out, that he will not be able to charge your security deposit.
Yeah. No, certainly not. Sam, what city do you live in?
San Francisco.
Oh, you do? Yeah. That's a very peculiar situation.
I quite understand that he wouldn't want such a machine. I'm also a landlord, and my tenant caused $11,500 worth of damage by letting. But anyway.
But you know, it's not up to what the landlord wants. If the lease says you have a washing machine, you're entitled to have a washing machine.
Yeah. You know, you might also want to. I take it you have not talked to an attorney, Sam.
No.
Okay. You know, why don't you do this? This has obviously been a significant thorn in your side, it sounds like. Why don't you also call the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service and see if you can speak to a tenant's attorney, and it'll only cost $35 for a half an hour consultation. I think it might be well for you to do that. Do you want the phone number?
No, I have insurance to
okay.
do that,
all
and
right.
I did so, and they couldn't give me any information. They kept on dithering, and I've got far better information from you right here on the air.
Can I make another suggestion? This is something that the San Francisco Rent Board would be interested in. You might go down to them at 25 Van Ness and talk to them also.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Sam.
Go down in person.
Why not? Yeah, sure.
Yes, they have a counter there, and they'll spend as much time with you as you need to talk to them. And I always find it's better to do those things in person than on the phone.
It's a consumer-friendly thing. You're not aware of it, huh?
Of the rent board? I tried to find out about it online and how one can get in touch, and it all appeared.
Well, are you ready to write down the address again?
25
Fan Desk. Okay.
Right.
Go down there.
Third floor, and they're very, very helpful.
Yeah. Go down there and see if you can get some help, Sam.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. This is Your Legal Rights. My guest is Mark Seidenfeld, real estate attorney. He represents landlords and tenants. It's also our Call a Lawyer night, and that number, 1-800-525-9917. And we have Peter. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, good evening. My situation is that... I found out early this year that my landlord, who lived out of state, has died. And I've lived here, I'm in the city, San Francisco. I've lived here over 10 years, and I'm over 65. And I thought I had an open and shut case. I talked to people at the tenants union, not the rent board. I don't know what I guess there's a difference. But then I checked downtown to see how this house is registered, because I live downstairs and a couple of people living upstairs. And apparently it's originally a single unit house. So I figured that might blow my my argument or whatever.
What's the issue? What is the problem?
Well, the issue is that I don't want to be evicted.
Well, why do you think you're going to be evicted?
Because whoever the new owner is, all this person's family live out of state. So I don't think he or she is going to be moving in here. Mm. So I'm assuming the house is going to be sold.
Well, even if it's sold, that's not grounds for eviction. I mean, the rent ordinance in San Francisco lays out, I think it's 15 different causes for eviction, and it's all the things that you might think. I mean, non-payment of rent, habitual late payment, bad checks, things like that.
29 years.
But the point I'm making is it doesn't matter if the building is sold. They cannot evict you simply because there's a new owner.
Even though there's only two units, the rent board would be covered.
Well, I'm assuming, again, the building is covered by the rent ordinance. Was it first occupied before 1979?
The landlord lived here for several years before retiring and moving.
So the building was built before 1979, is that right?
It was built in the 30s.
Yeah, then you're covered by the rent ordinance, and they cannot evict you without good cause.
Okay, even though it's listed officially as a single unit house, and it's,
yes,
it's been like
yes.
a illegal in-law.
The rent board considers illegal units to be units. And the other agencies of the city may not, but the rent board does, and the rent ordinance does apply, and you are covered.
Okay. What if with the house probably is close to worthless, but the property it's on probably close to $1 million. So what if the new owner decides to level the house? Then I'm out of luck then.
Well, yes, there is a process for that, but again, it's very complicated, more than we can go into here. All I can tell you at this point is they do not have cause to evict you because of a sale of the property.
What I also suggest, Peter, I believe that people should educate themselves and not wait until the sledgehammer falls. I, too, believe that you should contact the lawyer referral service, ask to speak to an experienced attorney who handles tenants' problems, and go have
Peter,
at least
that,
a, no
number,
no. Yeah. Let me, Peter, don't interrupt if
okay.
you don't mind.
Sorry.
Just wait. Let me get some. Yeah. You're like some of the people who call me at my office. They won't let me finish talking. Please let me finish because I'm trying to help you and give you some direction.
Yes, yes.
You need to sit down with an attorney for at least half an hour, pay $35, and find out what your rights are.
Okay.
So do it.
Well, could
please.
You give me a phone number or a name?
Well, you haven't been listening, have you?
Well, I'm 525-9917. I got that number. But.
Well, 415-989-1616.
1616.
That's the lawyer referral service for San Francisco.
Okay, that's 415-989-1616.
You got it.
And I would also suggest that you talk to the rent board, actually, even before you talk to the lawyer referral service. They might be able to reassure you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's at 25 NS.
Right, third floor, suite 320.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, Peter, good luck. Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
All right. This is Your Legal Rights, Call a Lawyer Night. How are our attorneys for Call a Lawyer? Are they still standing, sitting, or have they collapsed at this point? How are we doing there? The number 1-800, we've got one line open or one line closed? One line open. Oh, good. All right. 1-800-525-9917 for Call a Lawyer. All right. This is Your Legal Rights, and I believe our next person is Bob. Bob, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, Bob?
Pretty good.
What's going on? Let's hear it.
So, the problem, my daughter with five other daughters have rented an apartment in Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
a house actually, and it turns out that it's full of mice.
Uh-huh.
So the owner has put baits all over the house, but the mice are still there. So I know I'm entitled to... for her to leave the place, but the problem is that there is security and first and second and last rent, so it's not so easy.
What is the landlord charging per month rent?
$2,500.
Yeah. How many bedrooms?
Four.
Yeah, that's a big place.
Does your daughter want to leave the place, or does she want the landlord to fix it?
Well, she wants to fix it, yeah. For
all right, because the landlord has is required by state law to maintain the premises free of vermin. Now, I am not familiar with Santa Cruz local laws, but I'm sure Santa Cruz has a housing department or a building department that you could go to and say the landlord is not maintaining the premises the way they're supposed to be maintained. They would come out and cite him. It's the landlord's responsibility to take care of this, and he cannot charge your daughter for doing so. It's his requirement by law. So that would be what I would do.
Exactly, who I have to turn to?
Well, as I say, I'm not familiar with the city of Santa Cruz, how they're organized, but they're guaranteed to have either a building department or a housing department.
She should call the county of Santa Cruz.
Or is it in the city of Santa Cruz?
Yes.
She should go to City Hall and talk to either a housing inspector or a building inspector.
Yeah.
I see. Just go personally to the City Hall?
There's yes. Yes, it's always better that way to find the right department and the right person. I would go down there personally, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right. Good luck. Good luck, Bob. Thanks for calling. All right, Doug, welcome to your legal rights. Doug, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Great. Thank you so much. All right.
You're welcome.
So my question is about noise and noise complaints. And apparently I'm the problem. But the place I've lived in for about 3 years. And even within a couple of months of moving in, my neighbors downstairs began to complain about my TV. So I turned it down. They complained again. I turned it down again until it was just barely, you know, that I could barely hear it. But then they said, oh, could you please just not listen to TV at all after 10?
Wow. After 10 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah. So I got some headphones and mostly it's been fine. One of my headphones broke. And anyway, there's been very little contact between us and them, my neighbors downstairs. Besides them, they have some kids and there were some screaming and some problems. And then about a year in, they said, you know, we can kind of hear you talking on the phone at night. Talk at night. Wow. After a certain time, we'd really appreciate that.
How about, did they ever ask you to stop breathing yet? Have they asked you that one yet?
Well, no, but they have recently said that the fan in my computer is too loud.
Are you joking?
No,
You're serious. Oh, my
I'm
God.
Serious.
This is
they're
noise.
Very
is,
unhappy about it.
Oh my
noise
gosh.
Is a constant issue. It's part of urban life.
Yeah.
Some noise is expected if they want to be hermits. You know, they need to move away from urban areas.
Yeah.
As long as the noise you're making is within reasonable hours and is not unreasonable.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, these are subjective terms.
Yeah.
But if they asked you to turn down your TV and you've done so, it seems to me that's the end of it. You have a right to listen to television in your own apartment.
Yeah.
They have noise themselves. They have children, you know.
How many units in this building?
12.
Pardon? 12?
Yeah.
And where? What city?
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Right next to the J Line. Loud.
They picked a noisy area. No, they as long as you are behaving reasonably, then they really can't complain. Noise is part of living in the city.
Yeah.
Is there any problem I'm worried about? I'm a subtenant. I'm worried about the master tenant and the agreement, and they complain to the landlord, and then the landlord says, well, there's only so many times, you know, that they can complain, and it's bad for you guys. And
you know, landlords don't like to get involved in disputes between tenants. They're very reluctant to do so because it's a lose-lose for them no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
There are mediation programs that you could go to. There's the community boards in San Francisco.
I think that's a very good option.
Which tends to, you know, which tries to mediate disputes like this. The parties have to be willing to do it, obviously. But, you know, the bottom line is, I don't know what else to say. Noise is part of urban life. They're living on a streetcar line. They have children. Their children are probably causing disturbance for other tenants.
The people on the first floor actually won't even talk to them anymore.
Oh, my.
They only want to talk to the landlord.
Sounds like a very unfriendly situation.
I
think, as Mark has suggested, you should contact community boards and see if you might be able, with their help that's been around, that organization has been around many, many years, see if you can't work out some kind of, with the help of the community boards, encouraging the tenants who keep complaining against you and perhaps the other tenants in the building to have a mediation and see if there is a way of improving the quality of life there. It must be very unpleasant to live in such a situation. And maybe, and yeah, I obviously I've hit the note on the head there. But
yeah, it's tough. I want to be passionate to them and feel bad for them, but I also just want to live my life and
don't
want to have them you know, come into the door and mad. And
yeah. Why don't you call community boards, as Mark suggested, and see if with community boards is aggressive in trying to help people to get together, and it may be something that would be very helpful to you. I suggest you do. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Take care,
Doug. All right, and don't read too loud, please, Doug, as you go get off the phone. And probably they're going to complain about you talking on the phone.
It's amazing.
Yeah, terrible. That's absolutely terrible. Sid, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
I'm a tenant in San Francisco, and I'm wondering maybe if you can tell me if I could negotiate a situation that happened already better. So what happened in our unit is that there was a small flood, not of our own doing. And at that time, this happened in the evening, and the landlord actually refused to have somebody come kind of overnight to assess the situation and take care of it. So we ultimately paid for, just called somebody, had them take a look at it, paid for it out of pocket, and eventually negotiated with the landlord to kind of end up splitting it half and half, even though we were at no fault. So in a situation like that where there is something urgent going on that we didn't feel like we wanted to stay in this unit and our belongings were all there. Is there any recourse that I had at that time, or if this was to happen again, of a better way to negotiate the situation?
You know, it's a tough situation. I mean, it's the kind of thing you could go to the rent board and say the landlord didn't do what he was supposed to, and they could have a mediation and a hearing. But, you know, it sounds to me like the way you resolved it was reasonable. You agreed to split the cost. If it happens again, you could say to the landlord, look, we didn't cause this. It's your building. You pay for it. Mm-hmm. And if he refuses to do so, that would be a time to go to the rent board and say, here's what happened, and the landlord's not being reasonable, and I suspect the rent board would rule in your favor.
Yeah, it's tough in that situation, though, because if you're living in the unit, then what happens during that period while all that's going on?
Well, it is tough, but it's either that or let the landlord do whatever he wants, which isn't acceptable either. You have to stand up for your rights, and the rent board is there to help tenants in San Francisco.
Was the flood that was not your responsibility, was it caused some pipe in the building just broke?
Yes. It was actually something backed up, and it had actually happened before per the landlord previously, and so this is something that could kind of rear its ugly head again.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm calling, that is there anything better to do? But it seems like this is probably the best that we could have sort of gotten out of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you were starting from scratch, I would have insisted the landlord pay for it because it was not your fault. But since you've already reached an agreement with him on that one, I would let it go. But if it does happen again, he's got to take care of it, not you.
And if he refuses, other than going to the rent board, that's going to take weeks to play itself out, right?
What you do is then you have it repaired and you deduct that amount from your rent. Yeah.
We have run out of time.
I see. Okay, great.
Good luck to you, Sid. We've run out of time. By the way, before we break, I just want to let you know we will not be here next week nor the week after because the Republican convention will be here next Wednesday evening. At least aired here. The following week, the Democratic Convention will be, but we will be back to see you on September 12th. We'll be doing a program on the Americans with Disabilities Act. So, Mark, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, always.
Wonderful to have you again us on this program. We've been doing our Call a Lawyer night, and I hope those of you who've been able to call in got a lot of help from our Call a Lawyer lawyers. Mark Seidenfeld is a real estate attorney. He represents landlords and tenants. His offices are in South San Francisco. Thanks again, Mark. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. I thank you very much for listening to this program. I'm Chuck Finney.